at 4 a.m. on October 30, 1974, in the village of Kinshasa, Zaire, one of the most anticipated sporting events in history was about to take place. Imagine with me the incredible atmosphere of this stadium, filled from top to bottom, from end to end, with 60,000 fans crammed shoulder to shoulder, jittering in the African heat with excitement as their champ was about to arrive. The atmosphere was electric. It was buzzing. The music was pumping. The sound of excitement was rising, and the ringside commotion was building. The thump of beating hearts could be felt pulsating through the stands. And all of a sudden, though, the lights dimmed. Amidst all of the atmosphere that was booming, the lights came down, the music, it silenced. An unlikely hush seemed to fall over the 60,000 people gathered. There was this excitement and anticipation that fell to near silence. All eyes were towards this one tunnel as a hole in the stadium. The moment that all of these people had been waiting for was approaching. With smoke machines working overtime, a thick haze settled around the tunnel. The music began to build again. The cheers and the whistles and the shouting of all of these fans carried on. The room was coming alive. A singular light, powerful enough to blind, shone in the direction of this tunnel, and we started to see a shadow of a man. The one they had wanted and waited to see. A figure could be seen walking towards center stage as though he was floating like a butterfly, but was ready to sting like a bee. And with a rumble in the jungle, Muhammad Ali announces his arrival. The champ is here. He started with a whisper, bitty belt to a hullabaloo that shook the stadium with a thunderous roar. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. And he would make his way all the way down to the ringside stadium. And in that moment, every one of the 60,000 fans who had gathered that early morning had all of their hopes settled because their champ was here. So the Christmas season is much like being packed into a stadium, packed to the rafters with people who are all waiting and anticipating and people who are full of hope. I drove to Westfield this week, and I tell you, I hoped for a parking spot. Maybe you're hoping for that gift. Maybe this Christmas season you're hoping for rest. Maybe you're hoping, like me, for a delicious lunch. Maybe you're hoping for fun, hoping for safe travels, hoping for great experiences, hoping to reconnect with family and friends that you may not have seen for a while. Christmas is a time like no other where the atmosphere is charged with hope. I wonder what you're hoping will walk through the tunnel of your life this Christmas. I know I'm hoping for a fun and relaxing holiday. I'm hoping to teach Poppy how to surf this year. I'm hoping to catch lots of fish with Rocky. I'm hoping to build big sandcastles with Banjo. But maybe we're hoping for something more than just the great experiences that we set ourselves to over this season. Maybe you are hoping for family to be brought back together in place of ruptured relationships. Maybe you're hoping for something internally next year to shift in your life that's going to set you on a new direction. Maybe the hopes are more than what we're just going to do this Christmas, but there is a deeper yearning within us that we hope would be fulfilled. See, hope is such a powerful resource given to humanity. The fact that you and I have the capacity to anticipate is truly a gift. I mean, imagine that we couldn't experience hope. the lead up to anything fun or pleasurable or exciting would be so dull and lifeless and plain. I mean, imagine in the morning I promised my kids, hey kids, in the afternoon, I'm going to buy you an ice cream. And imagine all day the kids could not even have one ounce of excitement rise within their souls at the thought of a paddle pop at the end of the day. It would just be a lifeless existence without hope. See, hope is the gift deposited in the hearts of humanity to anticipate, to expect, and to delight in the promise of a better future. There was a man in the Bible, one who was easily overlooked in the story of Jesus' early years, who lived with this kind of hope and anticipation every day. His name was Simeon. And I'm going to read you a brief couple of verses from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, meaning that his life was steeped in the Jewish tradition and culture. And he was waiting for the consolation, or if you like, comfort of Israel. This was a Jewish man who had heard all of the stories of his forefathers, who has known the scriptures, who knows that at some point in a time coming, who no one's really sure about, a Messiah is going to arrive on the scene and save them from their situation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ. See, Simeon had been waiting patiently and hopefully for his entire life. As a devout Jewish man, and likely in his 80s, a man who has waited a long time. We don't know at which stage in his life the Holy Spirit had come to him and said, hey, Simeon, you are going to see the Christ, the Messiah, the one promise of God to come and redeem your people. We don't know at what point that happened, but we know it did. And they're assuming that he's around 80 years old. He would have seen his city and his faith tradition come to ruin. He would have been alive in the days of relative calm before the Roman Empire came and took over the joint. He would have witnessed firsthand, Simeon would have witnessed firsthand the demise of his people. He would have seen and suffered under the great influence and injustice of the Roman rule. He and his family would have been pushed to the margins of society along with many other proclaimers of faith in Israel's God. Simeon himself was the victim of a cruel power that sought to dismantle and crush any sense of hope that he may have had of the promise of the Messiah who would come to save him and his nation. All the while, though, in the midst of the hopelessness that so many like him were feeling, he had a promise deposited in his heart that before his days were done, he would indeed meet the one who the Lord of his forefathers had promised would come to bring them freedom. So Simeon sat day in and day out in the temple, waiting, anticipating, full of hope that maybe this champ would arrive. Simeon, though hard-pressed by life circumstances, lived life in a stadium, rumbling with the sound of incredible hope, the promise of a new king, a coming savior. Simeon's days were lived like waiting for his hero to show up, like a child waiting for the ice cream his parents had promised. He lived as though the promise made to him was arriving at any moment. Simeon lived with hope. Hope that beyond his present reality was the promise of a new one. And this is the message for all of us this Christmas, that beyond your present reality, there is a promise of a new one. God's gift to humanity is that when we stop to recognize that God came in humanity's form, that he came, that he would offer us a life that yet we do not fully know, and he would offer it to us in its fullest. That beyond the mess and the chaos and the incompleteness and the brokenness and the pain and the suffering and the sickness and the effects of sin on our lives and our world, there is hope. And Simeon could not wait for him to walk in. We pick it up in verse 27. Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple, And I want you to imagine this is like the stadium moment. The lights are dimmed and the crowd within his heart starts buzzing. The smoke machines were firing and the song in his spirit started lifting. He knew that this was the moment. And when the parents, being Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said these words, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." And right there, Simeon, taking Jesus like the Simba on Pride Rock moment, and he held Jesus in the air and before all of the people around him, also anticipating hope, he said, "The King is here, the King is here, the King is here, the King is here, the King is here." This is the gift offered to you and I. God fulfilling his promise to humanity that salvation is here. The gift of Jesus is the fulfillment of the hopes of humanity to be rescued. He is the gift of light in a darkened world. He is the hope to the forgotten. He is hope to the lonely. He is hope to the foreigner. He is hope to the abused. He is hope to the marginalized. He is hope to the downtrodden. He is hope to the wealthy. He is hope to the poor. He is hope today to you and I. He is the hope for which we all rise. And just as Simeon did, we announce by gathering here today that the King is here, that the Savior is here, that hope for you and I beyond our present reality is here, that there is a promise deposited in the collective hearts of humanity that says this is not the end. This is not the end of your story. This is not the end of our world, that there is a promise for a better future because God entered its situation. See, the thing is that humanity certainly doesn't need more champs, but we all undoubtedly still need a Savior who gives us hope for an eternally beautiful future. And that is the gift of Christmas. Let's stand together and pray and give thanks, and we will head off to Christmas lunch, all at my house, next year. God, it is a difficult thing to wrap our heads around that the Creator of the universe would look upon His creation with such love when we often make such a mess of it, of our world and our lives, and You would look down upon us and You would go beyond that and You would enter our situation by coming as Your Son Jesus. That You would walk this earth, that You would feel the pain that people experience, that You would step into the joy and the triumphs of life and You would feel every bit of it. Your heart would break for the state of our heart so much so that You would not leave us like that, that You would bring Yourself down to be found among men and women of earth. But You would go more than that. That the baby Jesus wasn't the end of the story. That You would send Yourself to give Your life. God, we know that Christmas is not the end, but Easter is the very beginning. That You offer us new life in Jesus. New hope in Jesus. A reality beyond what we experience today is offered to us this Christmas. So in the midst of all of the chaos, in the midst of all of the noise and the presents and the gift and the lunches, God, we ask that we would just be so exposed to the hope that we have that You are the ones creating a better and brighter future for us through Your Son, Jesus. And we ask that we would pursue that life and everything You have for us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.